Today's a special day for me, and it is every year, and it has been for the last 13 years. And 13 years ago, on Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving, my mother was murdered. And I want to share a message today with you that I shared 6 weeks after her death. I thought about changing it a little bit. I'm hearing some ringing, Kev. Thank you. I thought about changing it a little bit, but I went back to my original notes and things that I had written down on that ride home from North Carolina for Mama's funeral while Joy's dad was driving. That's Pastor Metz was driving, and I'm just jotting down notes about my mom. And so I have preached this message a lot of places, other churches, you know, all over the place. And matter of fact, one of the greatest words I ever heard was that they did this message over in China, of all places. And a missionary did it. And in an underground church, and several women, I forget the number, but quite a few women came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as a result of my mama's testimony. So this is a powerful, praise the Lord, amen. It's a powerful story, it's a real story. It's going to make some of you uncomfortable. One thing I hope today is by the time we get done, I hope that you'll say, man, I want to make sure I'm a Christian. I want to make sure I'm saved. Other people ought to know I'm a Christian. Other people ought to know that I am saved. What in the world is wrong with me if other people, and I'm not even sure myself if I'm a Christian. That's my goal today. Amen. That you'll know the Lord today. That'll bring glory to the Lord, and that'll bring honor to my mom. But we're going to share this message, how Mama made it. That's my mother, Ann Clark Riley. And you'll see several shots. But we don't have the greatest pictures in the world because we grew up where we grew up and we just didn't take pictures. And that was the way it was. And thank the Lord we're doing different now in our family than we did years ago. Today's message, how Mama made it. Let's move it, Raj. Rockingham welcomes you. Amen. A few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, Don Lutz and I traveled to my hometown of Rockingham, North Carolina. I'll be leaving this afternoon and going back to Rockingham, North Carolina. And celebrate Thanksgiving with my family this week. And then next Sunday morning, I'll be preaching in the very church that I became a Christian at years ago in 1977. So we've got tremendous singing music for you next week here as well. So hope that you'll be here next week to hear Harry McDaniel. But Rockingham welcomes you. Jimmy Grubbs, come on out. We're going to do some mama songs, okay? I've written several songs over the years, and most of them have a mama flavor to them. Because I love Mama. And you're going to definitely discover that by the end of this message today. And two of these songs, we're going to do a little medley, a little trilogy. And two of these songs I wrote, one of them I did not write. But it spoke to my heart before my mother was ever murdered. And so we're just going to include it today. My little Mama package. Mama taught me a lesson early. She said I never should forget. You don't have to be discouraged, worry or fret. Though sometimes in life you'll be thrown a curve and you may stumble on the way, our God, He will never forsake you. Then I'd hear her say, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. We know all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I know our God, we can trust Him for all. Them who love the Lord. I'm learning that the bitter things and the sweet things in this life, my Father mingles them together and makes them turn out right. Though
Though at times I can't see nor understand the blending of the joys and woes, it's then I recall what I learned as a child, and here's how the promise goes. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord. We know all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. To them who are called according to His purpose. And I know our God, we can trust Him for all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, for them who love the Lord. Mama always got up early, and she never went to bed till late. And I never heard her complaining about her family of eight. There were times she should have been sleeping late in the midnight hour, but she'd get down on her knees and you could hear her pray, Lord, fill them with Your power. Mama liked to burn the midnight oil down on her knees in prayer. And if you ask her why she did it, she said she did it 'cause she cared. Mama knew Jesus was waiting down by the rocking chair. Oh, I'm glad my mama was willing to burn the midnight oil in prayer. I was sailing on life's journey, and things were going fine. Then something tragic happened and broke this heart of mine. Now my ship is all battered and my sail is torn. Can you help me with this matter? What shall I do in the midst of my storm? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Encourage yourself by praying and reading His holy word. Commit yourself and say, Lord, it's You this day I will serve. Then rest in His promise and know all things work together for Your good. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Encourage yourself by praying and reading His holy word. Commit yourself and say, Lord, it's You this day I will serve. Then rest in His promise. Then rest in His promise. Rest in His promise. And know all things work together for Your good.
Amen. Thank you, Jimmy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, some mama songs this morning, and love mama. And you're going to, you know, obviously, kids, you need to love your mama. You hearing me say? Come on, can I have some kids talk to them? Kids, you need to love your mom. Amen? Yes, sir? Amen? Mama don't always just do what you want her to do. Big deal. Love mama. Amen? Love your mama. And that's the one thing my kids do. They love their mama. If I don't do anything else in life that's right, We did that right. Amen. They love mama, man. Some pictures for you this morning. Rockingham welcomes you. That's where I was born and where mom was born. This is the Reed's Grocery Store. That's right next to the church that we walked up that day to Caroline Street to go to church the first time ever. And walked right past Willie Reed's Grocery Store. Just a note there, that's also where Brett Jones, Pastor Brett Jones, Calvary Bible Church in Venice, that's where he and I fought over a girlfriend one day and I broke his finger. Right there. Right there. Takes me back. Amen. And just for a few of you, you heard Bucky Covington. Bucky, American Idol, just in case you thought I was kidding, there's Bucky. That's where Bucky works, right there at Bucky's body shop. But Bucky probably don't work there no more. Amen. Bucky's making some big money now. But when we got there, when we went by there, Bucky's got a twin brother. And you saw him if you watched American Idol. His twin brother showed up. His twin brother was there and waved at us, didn't he, Don? He doing body work, waving at us. But anyway, so a little bit about Rockingham. This is where my mother worked, Revel's Barbecue Lodge. In case some of you travel through North Carolina, you've noticed something when you travel through North Carolina. They got some serious barbecue. We're known for our barbecue. It's a rare kind of barbecue. It's made with some vinegar and it's got a little zip to it. It'll get you, but that's good stuff. And so she worked there for about 25, 30 years at this barbecue lodge. And believe it or not, it's still open. They could use a little work on the side. But anyway, I grew up right here on River Road, 109 River Road, on the corner of River Road and Caroline Street. But I've told you before, I was slow as a boy. I didn't know much, and this is what street I thought I lived on. And for years I told people, what road do you live on? Dead end. I'm serious. I didn't know any better. What's the name of your street? Dead end. Because I saw it every day as I was walking right there. Dead end. Just in case you don't believe it. True story. This is the bottom of our yard. It was not on our property. It connected to our yard. It wasn't our land. It was owned by a man named Sego. And Mama asked Sego one time when we were really, really, really poor, after she had to quit work because she was disabled, she said, can we garden that land right there? And he said, yeah, you can. We planted the best garden here. Now, my house is up here behind this fence. It's all in the woods. It's all grown up. From that side, it's nasty. It used to be so pretty and rolling hill down through there. But it was really interesting to me. I went back one time, and here I saw they had put this memorial to the veterans right on my garden spot. And I really thought that was nice of them to do that for my mama. Amen? Because she was a veteran too, man. She was a veteran in the Lord's army. And so when I go home and I look at that house and how bad it has become in that area, I can go down to that pretty spot and I can have good thoughts of Mama. This is the house I grew up in, 109 River Road, and it looks just the same as when I was there. It's, you know, obviously it's gotten worse. We didn't have that fence. That Mama drive her crazy, that fence right there. It was a pretty yard and did the best with it that she could. And when my mother was murdered, she was murdered in that back room in the right corner and in a little bathroom. And then my stepdad took a gun and shot himself and killed himself. That's the home that I grew up in on River Road, Rockingham. Today's message is how Mama made it. Can you say that with me? How Mama made it. All right. And we're going to roll now and we're going to tell you the story of my mother this morning. First of all, anything that I have to say must be prefaced by the fact that Mama was truly a born-again Christian. She was a born-again Christian. I mean, she was saved. All right? When she came to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, she got it all. She got everything. Amen? When she asked Jesus to forgive her sins and to come into her heart and live, He did. All right? I was there when it happened. I tell you that about my own life. How you know you're saved, preacher man? I was there when it happened. Why can't you say that? That might not be good English, but why can't you? You ought to know when you were saved. You ought to know when you put your faith in Christ. And today would be a great day if you don't know. You could say it was that day that crazy guy talked about his mama. But at least you'll know, amen? You'll know. Mama knew she was a Christian. I don't know that about each of you, but I know that's the way it was with Mama. I know Mama was a Christian. She didn't play church. She didn't act like a Christian only on Sundays. She got it all when she came to Jesus in repentance and faith. She was in every sense of the word a child of God. That's who Mama was. Okay, you got to know that about mama. First, you can't know anything about my mother unless you know that today. Okay? Y'all on the same page with me? That's mama. You got to know this before we can go on. But you need to know this before you can go on. You're not going to make it out of this life, friend, to heaven without being saved. You're not going to make it from this life to Jesus Christ without accepting what He did on the cross for you. It is impossible. According to the Bible, it ain't happening. Do you know Him today? Mama knew Him. I hope you do. Are you really saved today? Okay? Are you playing church? Do you do church because it's something we do on Sunday? Yeah, It ought to be more than that to you. Amen? This is the day the Lord made. This is the first day of the week. We worship Him because we love Him. Amen? That's why we're here today. It's not a game. Did you get it? Do you know Christ for sure? Are you really born again? If you died today, do you know heaven would be your home? I hope as we tell this story, you'll say, I want that. I want that in my life. Would your kids speak with such conviction about your being a Christian, a true Christian, the way I speak about my mama? Ask yourself that question. Would your kids get on this stage today and look an audience in the eye and say, I know one thing, my mama's saved. I know one thing, my dad's a Christian. I know one thing, my brother's a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, he might not be perfect, but I know he's a believer in Christ. Why in the world can't our family speak with that kind of conviction about our life? Say, you think they should be able to, yes or no? And it don't come by shoving it down their throat. It don't come by church talk. It comes by a life that you are living. And you usually see it in the life of that person when it's hard, man. Everybody can grin when they're up on the hill. But how about when you're in the hole? Can they speak with that kind of conviction about you? They should, man. That's my goal for Fellowship Church, that's for sure. December 18th, 1977. About 3 weeks prior to that date, I came home on a Saturday night after hell raising and partying with my high school friends. I walked in the back room of that house. You saw the house. I walked in that back room, that area where my mother was killed. I walked in that door. But this was way back in the 70s. And I walked through that back room and into the den in the middle of the house. That's where the heater sat. And I saw my mother sitting in a recliner and she was crying. Pabst Blue Ribbon cans all around the chair and she's crying. You know? But that's what drunks do when they get all drunk sometimes. Sometimes they get real happy too, dude. So I didn't think much of it. But Mama said, we're going to church in the morning. And I looked and saw Billy Graham going off on the television set. And for old time's sake, last night, before this message this morning, I watched Billy Graham from 10 to 11. Okay? And I had a rule at my house, even though my mama was a drunk and she's rough, we had a rule, and that was you were home at 11 o'clock. Period. No exceptions, none, zippo. And she's the kind of woman that could kill you. You know what I'm saying? So, well, no, we're home. I'm home. So that's when it was on way back when, Billy Graham. So I looked at him going off TV, mama crying, we're going to church in the morning. I cussed her out. GD this, F this, horrible things I said to my mother. I went to my room, slammed my door. Going to church. Freak. Stupid. That's how I talk. Mad. God. I get up the next morning. Actually, I'm still in bed. I hear things clanging. She don't normally get up like this. She is serious. We don't even have a car, man! So I got up, and I went with Mama. We walked up Caroline Street. Down Dead End Road, up Caroline Street. Didn't know where we were going! But I went with Mama to keep some preacher from stealing our last dollar. I did not go to find Jesus. I didn't want to know nothing about Jesus. I didn't know who Jesus was. What's this Jesus mess? I went to protect Mama. I was the youngest of 6 children. Closest one above me, 7 years. I was the only one there at the home on that Sunday morning. So I'm going with Mama. That's what boys do. And I went to that church. But I'm going to tell you something. We went. We came home. Mama got wasted. I hell raised just like always. Went the next week. Mama got wasted. Okay? But tell you what, that third Sunday we went, preacher Eddie Zimmerman preached, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Revelation 3:20. "If any man will open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." And he said, if you open up your heart to Jesus, he'll come in. You can be saved and have your sins forgiven. And mama went down that aisle. Amen? That's what happened. And you know what? So did her hell-raising teenager. I went down there too. Woman talked to my mama. Man named Ralph Reeder talked to me. At the end of the deal, both of us had given our life to Jesus Christ. Both of us were saved. And it was a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. Beautiful thing. And it was real. How do you know it's real, man? Because my mama went home that day, opened the refrigerator, took the Pabst Blue Ribbons, opened them up, and poured them down the cast iron sink in the kitchen. She was done. She was done. You know, and a lot of people, that would have just been something they did. But I tell you what, it took with mama. It happened. For me, it took 6 months until I finally realized I wasn't saying horrible words and things like that anymore. And it just caught me by surprise. I was like, wow, you're changing, man. And that's what God did in our life. So mama was truly born again. Mama was truly saved. She turned from being a drunk and a person who was somewhat evil to a beautiful Southern belle. She turned into somebody that loved the Lord and loved people. It was a beautiful transformation. And it happened December 18th, 1977. How mama made it. Going to move along this morning. And this is a hard part of the message for me. I'm going to tell you about mama's fiery trials. Okay, y'all with me so far? I'm going to tell you about what mama went through. What made mama? What you talking about your mama all the time, boy? Made her special. It's what made her special. Okay? You're going to learn a lot about your pastor today when you see this message. You're going to learn why I don't really like to hear negative stuff and down talking and gossip and crap, I call it. Because it's way down deep in me, man. It bleeds in me. Okay? If that's what church is to you, you need to find another one, because this ain't what this church is about. We're about reaching people. We're about loving people. We're about encouraging people. When you come on this property, you ought to be encouraged. That's what we're about. And it comes from a life that my mother lived. And it's been part of my life now. It's inside of me. Let's move, Raj. Mama was saved, but her husband, T.A. Riley, Thurman Alvin Riley, refused Christ. My mom and dad divorced when I was 11. And she had been living, shacking up with this guy named Riley, we called him. And then when mom and dad divorced, he moved into the house. He was a big man, tough man, a mountain man. He worked for the telephone company, a burly guy. He was horrible in the way he treated people. He was the biggest racist that you'd ever see. Horrible. But he was, here's mama's words, he was a man's man. He was an idiot. He was an idiot. That was mama in her drunken state. That was mama in her evil state saying he's a man's man. So she met this guy, and they lived together for 3 or 4 years, and he was away during the week working in Winston-Salem area, about 2 hours away from us. And he would come home on the weekend, and my brother Terry would come and get me and try to get me out of that hell hole on the weekend and save my life. And I think he did save my life and rescue me from a lot of mess that was going on in that house. But mama got saved in December. But she had tied the knot with this rascal in April. So she was married. And what goes around comes around. The way he was running around with her while she was married to Daddy, now they're married and he's running around on her. Amen? Let me tell you something. If you're running around in this building, you hear me? If you're running around, I hope the same thing happens to you. Whatever you're doing to a family right now, I hope it happens to you. It's horrible. It's not loving. It's horrible to commit adultery. You hear me today? Say, let's praise the Lord so they know that I ain't the only one that believes it. So he started running around. Now mama got saved. But he didn't. The party animal's gone. The drunk's gone. The evil woman's gone. So he refused Christ. She was changed, man. Mama wasn't one of these Christians, though, that, you know, shoved Jesus down your throat. Not like that at all. But he didn't like it now. He didn't like the new mama. Keep moving. Her husband didn't know Christ at all. He resented her. He resented that change in her life. Do you understand, say? He resented that. Keep moving, Roger. We're going to zip along. He constantly attacked her faith for 15 years. She would go to church, come home, come in the back door. You're no Christian. You're a hypocrite. What are you doing up there? You don't believe that. You're a fake. You're a phony. And then he would use all kinds of curse words at her. Constantly attacked her faith. He ridiculed her. He harassed her constantly about going to church. Made it almost impossible for her to get there. Took away her car. Actually sabotaged a little 1975 Honda Civic my brother had given her. Disassembled the thing so she'd have to walk. And that's the way she lived her life. He undermined what she did. He mocked her and would ridicule her. Talk about down to her all the time about her faith in Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the way she lived her life. He treated Mama like dirt. Like a maid. Like a dog. That's how he treated my mama. But Mama bore up. She bore up under the pressure. And you know what happened through all this? Mama became prettier. She became more beautiful. It's amazing. Mama became stronger in her faith for Jesus Christ. And I saw it. I lived it. Even though a lot of this went on. I'd gone off to seminary. I'd gone off to school. Joy and I got married, etc. And Mama's still in that environment. But Mama is making it. How did Mama make it? He never spoke to her unless it was hurtful or unkind. That's my mama and that's him at a Thanksgiving dinner at my brother Terry's back probably in about 1990. But don't you see that picture? This is Thanksgiving. What's wrong with that picture? Somebody tell me what's wrong with that picture. What? There ain't no family there, is there? The places are set. The drinks are in the glasses. The plates are there. He's eating. It's what he always did. It's about me. Serve me, feed me. I don't want to be with your kids. And so what'd Mama do? What else that picture tell us? There's Mama sitting with him. Mama sitting with him. Broke my mother's heart. He wouldn't speak to her unless it was hurtful or unkind. That's how he talked to Mama. Not just about church, about everything. He never touched her in a loving manner. He never caressed her. Touched my mother. Fellas, you ought to touch your wives. Are you hearing me say? You ought to touch your... Well, I'm not used to doing it. You need to get on a stick. Amen? There's nothing I enjoy more than touching my wife, holding my wife, rubbing my wife's back, touching her, having my hand on her, wherever I'm at, if I'm in the car, if I'm anywhere. Now, you see me here a lot because I'm working. I'm all over the place. But you see me anywhere else. And I have a chance to be with my wife. I love touching my wife. I love being with her. And maybe you know part of it's because this happened. You know what I mean? And you know, somebody told me the other day, it was great. They said, you know what? With what some of the things your wife's gone through, she needed somebody like you to really touch her. And to love her. And to let her know that, boy, she matters. We can do a better job, guys. He didn't celebrate Mama's birthday. March 9th. No card. No happy birthday. Horrible. He didn't get her Christmas present. Oh, Mama got presents for him. Presents for the kids. No Christmas present. He'd give her nothing. It's the way Mama lived. He disliked her kids. He especially disliked me. And I wear that as a badge of honor. Okay? Something I'm glad today that he disliked me. Keep looking. He made her pay all the bills with her meager Social Security check. My mother was disabled. She got about $400 a month, something like that. That's probably even high. Even though he was worth about $1 million and had a large monthly income, Mama still had to pay everything. Mama had nothing. Trapping Mama. Mama ain't got no room to move. Mama ain't got no money to do nothing. My mama had to pick things up by the road and sell them and stuff like that. And you might every once in a while see me picking something up by the road. I come by it honest. That's the truth. You want to come to my house? I'll give you the tour of the stuff I picked up. Amen? Hey, that's what you had to do. She'd sell it, have garage, just have a little money. He took away Mama's transportation. I told you about that. He was paranoid about his pickup truck. What am I talking about? He would park his red pickup truck in the backyard on the red clay, and he would rake around his pickup truck at night and go to bed and get up the next morning, see if she had walked out there and gotten that pickup truck and took that pickup truck anywhere. She lived in a prison. It's the way Mama lived. Keep looking. He bugged all the phones for years. After my mother's murder, they did a police investigation, unlocked several sheds. One shed was full of 6 years of cassette tapes. Every phone call that had been going in and out of the house for years, they were bugged. They were on tape. He tried to turn Mama's friends against her. Miss Coward and several of them came for opening day here at Fellowship Church. How many remember the Rockingham people coming that first Sunday we opened Fellowship? Remember that? Several of them were her friends. But he would go to her friends and to Mrs. Coward and say, that woman that comes to church, she's a hypocrite, she's a false, she's a fake, she's a liar, she's not doing this, she does this at the house, she does that. Trying to turn her friends against her. Didn't work. Tried to do it with my brother Terry. Tried to turn my brother Terry by telling him crap stuff about Mama. You know what? That's like spitting in a Clark boy's face. Talking about Mama. It didn't fly. But that's what he did. He took her name off of every joint account. It was illegal, but he did it. He was getting ready. He was trying to snuff my Mama out. He forbid Mama from coming to my wedding. She was already going to come to the wedding. And she gave us a phone call, and I heard her say on the phone, she said, I can't come to your wedding. Dr. Queen, that was our family doctor. Dr. Queen said, I can't come. I've got sinus problems. Hurt my wife. My wife didn't understand. How could a guy like me love his mama so much and her mama not show up to the wedding? She had made a beautiful dress. I didn't know that till after her murder. Many years later, her closest friend, Miss Coward, told me that she had made a beautiful dress, but he had beat her black and blue and forbid her to come to that wedding. And that's why she had sinus trouble, because her nose was all broken. But she never told us. She had to have reconstructive surgery on her nose because of the severe damage it had inflicted. This is how Mama lived. I didn't know all about this even until after her death. A neighbor across the fence handed me some pictures the day after Mom's murder. She hands me these pictures, and I open up the tinfoil. They're in a tinfoil wrapped up, and I looked at them. Worst thing I've ever seen in my life. My mother's face all beaten. And she'd had Miss Lampley take some pictures of her just in case he ever killed her. And she said, if anything ever happens to me, give these to Gary. And that's what I got. Mama lived every day if it would be her last. Could you say that with me? Mama lived every day as if it would be her last. You know what? That's not a bad way to live life. You know what I mean? It's not a bad way to live life every day if it would be fast. She told her pastor, Joey Bird, who's been here many times, I'll see him in a few days, that it was most difficult at night when she would go to lay down to sleep. Why? Because he said, when she would go to bed, he said, I'm going to kill you in your sleep. I'm going to kill you tonight while you're sleeping. You're not waking up. That's the way she lived. This is my mother's Bible. One of them. And I have it with me in the truck today. A lot of times I have that Bible in my truck, and I read out of it. I enjoy doing that. But it was all marked up. But here's what was marked up especially. I want to read it to you. We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by God, who's above all gods. This I declare, He, underlined, is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God. I'm trusting Him, for He rescues you from every trap. He protects you from the fatal plague. He will shield you with His wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore. No fear, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor disasters in the morning. Though 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. For Jehovah is my refuge. He will give His angels charged to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you. That was in Mama's Bible. She underlined that. Because he said, I'm going to kill you when you sleep. Roger, let's keep moving. Well, he did kill her. He killed her on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And I don't know how y'all do it where y'all from. Here's how we do it. Wednesday night church before Thanksgiving, you have a praise and testimony time. No preaching. And then you have a hymn sing. Sing your favorite songs. Mama requested this song. Jimmy? Mama requested this song. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once blind, but now I see. And it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour that I first believed. And when shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing the Lord's praise than when we first begun. Sing it with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once blind, but now I see.
Well, that's a little bit about Mama's fiery trials and torture. And we're videotaping this today. And I'm going to run just a little bit over. Okay? But you got to hear the story. And I want to tell you about my mother. Maybe you have in your mind, Roger, we're going to move it. Maybe you have in your mind, knowing what you see, how she lived day in and day out, and I haven't done a good job. Maybe you have a picture in your mind of a woman that was completely depressed and defeated. Defeated, down. Being beat down like this. How could she get up every day? How could she keep living? Maybe that's the picture you have of your mother. Let me tell you something. I want to introduce you to my mother today. Amen? Told you I was going to do that this morning. That's my mother right there. This is Ann Clark Riley. One thing you'll always notice about my mother, no matter what picture it is, she's always smiling. She's always smiling. My mother was a conqueror. Being real regardless. Just want to share with you a little bit of how she was. Even though she went through the fiery trials, what was Mama like? She was always smiling. Always. Always smiling. How many like people when they smile at them? Say. Isn't that nice? Doesn't it feel good? Say. Get a little smile at somebody. How about this? Always smiling. She was concerned about others. I'd call her on the phone. Mama, how you doing? Oh, no, how you doing? She'd turn it on a dime so fast. She's concerned about people. Got so many stories of people that she helped. When our funeral happened, we had the funeral and it was raining and hundreds of people came. And one by one, they would come and tell me what Mama did for them. What Mama did for them. Your Mama did this for me. One woman said, your Mama saved my life. She helped me get out of a situation with an evil man just like she was in. Your mama helped me, and I'm alive today because of your mama. She seemed to help others, but stayed in that situation herself. It's hard to imagine. She was constantly giving, 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 giving. My mother was the type of person that the teachers at a little Christian school, they had poor pay. My mom would give them a bag full of toilet tissue. She'd give them some toothpaste. She'd give them stuff like that because it's stuff they needed. That's the kind of mom I had. Don't mean to be ugly, but mama would give the ladies feminine products. You know why? Because they didn't have money and she knew they needed it. She's constantly giving. She was not embarrassed to give something like that. Mama knew people needed help. She worked with her hands so she could give. Gardening, doing whatever she could, selling stuff, trying to make stuff so she could give. Not so she could get for herself, so that she could give to other people. That's the way she was. She loved and attended God's house faithfully. Temple Baptist Church, that's where I'll preach next week. Every time the door's open, Mama's there. Regardless of what went on at home, she was steady, man. She was a tither. She gave of her income. She did it. I couldn't believe it. I argued with her. She said I was greedy. Mama would say this when she put that tithe check in that offering plate. Many times she's told me, you got to give God His first. Grin on her face. Cheerful giver. That's what I think of when I think of cheerful giving Mama. That's what I hope we'll always be and we'll become more and more at Fellowship Church. Cheerful giver. She was an encourager. Always lift you up. If you met my mama, she would not be down. She wouldn't tell you about her problems. She would lift you up. When you met her, you'd leave lifted. You hear me say? You know people like that? That do that for you? World just ain't got enough people like that, do they? Why don't Fellowship Church try to be more and more like that in this community? We'll grow like crazy, man, if we lift people up when they come into contact with us. But you just might have to go through some hard times to get that way. She did. She never complained. You think she complained constantly? She never complained. Never complained. She served her husband. What do I mean? She was one of those Southern belles. Washed everything. Ironed everything. Everything was immaculate. The yard was beautiful. Did the gardening. The meals were phenomenal. Unbelievable. You lick the bowl when my mama cooked. Are you hearing me? Lick the bowl. But my stepdad, when he got her food, he complained. This is bad. It's like this. Horrible. After my mother's death, I got Mitch. He was 6. Elise was 3.5. I huddled them together with joy. I said, this woman's your mom, is my mama now. Had a crazy talk with the kids. They're thinking, Dad's crazy. And I said this. I said, you'll eat what she puts in front of you. If you complain, you're history. I'll beat your butt. You know what I'm saying? And so that's how we raised the kids. That's what I did. I didn't know what speech to give. That's one of the speeches I gave. Mama, she prayed for her husband the night of her death. She went to that church. Her best friend told me she went to the altar at the end. They had a prayer time. Mama went there and poured her heart out for her husband to be saved, to know the Lord. Oh, God, come into his life. Change his life. Oh, God, bless him. Help him. She prayed for her husband. She hummed a lot. People have asked me, where you get your singing from? I guess I get it from Mama. Mama would hum. Hmm, 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 always hmm. She's humming. Any of y'all have mamas that hum like that? That was Mama. Not defeated, not depressed. She's singing, man. She loved her kids and her grandchildren. She loved her family. Here she is with Mitchell. One of the last times, well, it was the last time she was in the Inglewood area. She's playing here with Mitch in the surf. And there she is with Elise, holding her, loving on her. Elise is laughing like she still does. She loved her pastor and his wife. She loved her preacher. Didn't matter who it was, but she especially loved Joey Bird. Who y'all know Joey Bird. Joey comes here and speaks. Joey is one of our counselors and he helps us. He's a good man. He loved her. She loved him so much and his wife. She never whined or grumbled about her church. Are you hearing me this morning say? This is just the way I wrote the message. You might say, oh, why did he say it all that? Well, that's the way I wrote it. I just thought about it. She loved coming to church. Let me say something to you. If you come to this church and somebody's in your seat, listen to me. If you come to this church and somebody's in your seat, and you say, and you get mad because they're in your seat, why don't you go to an empty church somewhere? Amen? Nobody owns these seats. You hear what I'm saying? Sit where you can. Come on. Don't whine. Don't complain. Why are we going to complain when people work their tail off to make this happen today? Amen? Be thankful. Well, this is too loud. It's too hot. Big deal. Live where mama lived. That's why I don't have much patience. I know I'm not good. This is her with her ladies. Mama started a group called the Dorcas Ministry. A few years ago, it was recognized by the governor of North Carolina as a ministry that helps women, that helps give to the needy, helps reaches out and touch people. What can a woman do who's being beaten? What can a woman do who has no money? What can a woman do? Woman can do a lot. But Jesus Christ, when she keeps him her focus, hit the focus. Amazing. Keep looking. Mama cross-stitched this. It hangs in the fellowship hall with her name on it. The fellowship hall is named after her. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you lost. For out in the world, we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But soon or late, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. And that's the way she lived life. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use it as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving in its place something that I had traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not regret the price that I paid for it. And she lived life like that. Are you hearing about Mama today? Say. I know this is crazy country talk, but this is the real deal. Being real regardless. Keep moving, Raj. If you met my mother for any length of time, you would know that what I'm telling you is the truth. Erase any picture in your mind of a defeated, depressed, or complaining woman. She was not. Could you say that with me? She was a conqueror. You know what the Bible says we are? Say, Mama just was crazy enough to believe the Bible. I'm more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ. And that's who Mama was. Finally, how did Mama make it? And we're going to be done. I appreciate your patience. We're all doing pretty good today. I hadn't cried yet, have I? Not hardly. Here we go. How could she be so victorious under such persecution and abuse? How could Mama make it? How could she do it? How could she get beaten down like she did? Ultimately murdered. How could she live that life and yet smile? How could she light the room up? How could she be an encourager? How could she give? How could she live the way she lived? How could she make each and every one of these the children she had think that we were loved the most? How could she do that, man? And you never know. You never know. She's living in this mess. How could she do it? Certainly wasn't because she was a fake. She was real, regardless. Here's the 4 points, and I'm not preaching a new message. Here, we're done. Here it is. If you want to be a conqueror, if you want to know how you can make it, here's Mama's message. This is what I wrote down on the way back from that funeral. I wrote this down. Number one, can you say that with me? She believed. If you want to make it, do you believe God? Mama did. Mama believed God. Pop it up, Raj. She said Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's why the family put that on Mama's tombstone. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Mama believed God. She never doubted God. Even though her situation was rough, she believed God. When things don't go our way so often, don't we quit on God? Say, sure we do. Well, I can't believe that happened, Earl. Well, stuff happens, man, and it hits the fan sometimes too. Guess what? You believe God. Amen? Keep going, man. Do things always have to go your way for you to serve God? Or do you just serve Him and obey Him because of who He is? Good thought this week for Thanksgiving. Mama turned her burdens over to the Lord. The more pressure she was under, the more her faith in God was stretched. Mama knew where she came from, and she knew what God had done in her life. She had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. She was there when it happened. And she was changed. She believed God. The second thing, how do you make it? Well, this ain't rocket science, Clark. Number one, believe God. Number two, she read her Bible. Can you say that with me? She read her Bible. Look at it. Her Bible was tattered and torn, many of them. It was marked up. You saw one of them on the screen today. She didn't have the luxury of not reading the Bible. She needed something every day, something every hour. For you that want to make it but you don't read God's Word, you just must not need it. You just must not need it, I guess. Mama needed it. Do you hear me today? She needed the Bible. She needed to read. She needed to know that you can lay down your head at night and He will give His angels charge over you and you don't need to fear. We went into Mama's bedroom to clean up the house. Under her pillow was a hatchet. My mother slept every night with a hatchet under her head. I'd say if you do that, you probably need to read the Bible, don't you? What's it going to take to get you off zero to get you started? Is it going to take that? I hope not. Number three, she believed God. Number two, she read the Bible. Number three, it's not rocket science. She never missed church. Unless she was physically unable to attend. Mama was there. Well, I think I'll go this weekend if we feel like it. Not Mama. For Mama, church was a place where there were people that loved her. You see what I'm saying? She could actually have a conversation because nobody talked to her at home. Did you know there are people right now in Fellowship Church that are living just that way? And when they come here, they need you to love on them. Are you hearing me today? Well, I like them people hugging on me. Well, you've got to get over that. We don't know if you're the one that's really hurting or not, so we're going to hug all of them. Amen? Come on. You hear me? That's the way, listen, church meant something. She went there, it was like, oxygen. I'm not getting put down. What does it take to keep you away from church? A runny nose? Too tired? TV program? Too busy? A business function? Here's why most people don't come. I don't need it. I don't need it. Well, for the record today, Clark needs it. Can you imagine how mean as a snake I'd be if I wasn't in church every Sunday? Some of you know, don't you? I'm an intensive care Christian. I need to be here all the time, man. I need help. Listen, I hope that you feel that way. You can be a conqueror. Mama didn't have the luxury of not needing to go to church. She wouldn't miss. She would walk to church because she had no transportation. She walked up Caroline Street just like we did that. It was about 2 miles, mile and a half, 2 miles. Don, you know you were there. It was up a hill. This wasn't during the Depression. It was 13 years ago. It's when she walked, man. In humiliation, if it was raining, she was humiliated because she was one of those Southern Belle types. But she would call, can you come pick me up? Because her husband was so sorry, he wouldn't take her or wouldn't let her have the transportation to get up the hill. That's a sorry man right there. Mama had to go. Mama had to go. She couldn't help it. The last thing, how did my mama make it? How did my mama make it? Say them with me if you can remember. Number one, she believed God. Number two, she read the Bible. Not Newsweek. Number three, she never missed church unless she is physically unable. And number four, she cherished Christian friends. Now this is what the Lord gave me. When I was thinking, how could she live like that? How could she? Because I didn't even know. How could she do it? And these are the things I wrote on my little piece of paper. She cherished Christian friends. Pop it up. She loved them. She loved them. Her friends. She'd never think of hurting one of them through gossip. I want to say something. Some friends are so possessive. Some friends are so possessive. And I know this as a pastor because I do some counseling, unfortunately, sometimes. And I have to deal with this stuff, okay? But some friends are so possessive. If you don't just do everything with them, Or if you don't respond just like you, they think you're supposed to respond, they'll just treat you like dirt. They'll make you feel bad. Is that a friend, yes or no? That's not a friend. Friends don't make other friends feel bad. Three, she gave to them to show her love. You ought to give your friends stuff. She asked nothing in return. A true friend asks nothing in return. Mama didn't ask anything in return. She's just glad to have a friend. Amen? She's just glad to have a friend. Not to take advantage of a friend, just to have a friend, somebody to talk to. Mama loved her friends. You can second guess Mama if you want to and why she stayed in the marriage. Married to an insane lunatic. You can question her. I've questioned it myself. But I've concluded that Mama believed that's where God would have her be. I can't understand it, but Mama believed that. Mama believed that's right where she was supposed to be. Her pastor said, your Mama was at the pinnacle of her Christian life. She was the finest Christian in our congregation. That's a quote. An unsaved, unbelieving attorney in town, very well-known fellow. He said, your Mama was the sweetest, kindest woman in Richmond County. Her demonic husband said, she's that close to being perfect. That wasn't close enough.
Well, I'd just like to thank you personally for watching the video today of How Mama Made It. And I want to take a few minutes just to share with you and just talk to you a little bit about my mother. A lot of questions, you know, people ask me when I talk about Mom is, you know, the number one, obviously, is why'd she, you know, why'd she stay married to this man? I just want to tell you a little bit about what happened towards the end. It was probably about a year and a half before her mother's murder that I got a phone call. And she said, can I come and live with you in joy? And, you know, watching the video, I'm sure you picked up on it, that Mom was really strong. And for Mom to even ask to come from North Carolina to Florida and to have to ask for somebody to take care of her, that was just not like Mom at all, because Mom was so strong and she was dependent. She was also a very humble woman who didn't want to ever bother anybody. But of course, when she asked, we said, of course, Mom, we'd love to have you. And quite frankly, now you've watched the video, you know about my stepdad. I didn't want my mom to be married to this person, even though I wasn't aware of a lot of the way he was treating her. So I went and picked Mom up at the airport, and she had several suitcases, and I brought her back to Inglewood, and you know, Mom just plugged right in. She plugged into the family, she plugged into the church, and yet she was, you know, she was definitely struggling, and I didn't know exactly why she had decided to leave totally, but you know, I knew things must be pretty rough, and just an emotional nightmare living with someone like this. It was just so tough on her. But anyway, so she just plugged in. She made friends. She got involved, and she stayed with us until one morning. Mom got up, and we're in the kitchen, and Mom looks at me, and Joy's over here, and the kids, you know, are at the counter, and she looks at me, and she says, I'm going home today. I went, what? You going home today? What's up? She said, I'm going home today. She said, now, I need you to take me to the airport today at 1:00. Now, you going to take me or not? Do I need to get Laverne to take me? Well, Laverne was a lady, you know, that she had met in the church. And that's just the way Mama was. Mama's mind was made up. And that was the bottom line. And so, you know, no use arguing. And I went, of course, Mama, but, you know, I don't understand. And then she said these two things. She said, that's my house. And then she said, if anything were to happen to these babies. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, I didn't hear hardly either of those two statements because I was like, I couldn't believe it. What are you doing? Bottom line, Mom went back home. And of course, I took her to the airport. And it was some months later that I got the call from the police officer that Mom had been killed. and you don't understand and you don't know a lot of things that happen. And I certainly wish that she had not have left and that she would have stayed with us. And she loved us and we loved her. And you've already gathered that from the message today. But I do want to say this. After her death, I learned some things. Her best friend told me. She said, "You know the reason your mom came home?" I said, "No, I didn't really know. Why?" And she said, "It's because your stepdad had come to Florida. He'd cased out the area. He called your mother and said, 'If you don't come home, I'll kill Gary, Joy, Mitchell, and Elise.'" And so, friend, that's why Mama went home. I don't understand it. Wish she hadn't. But I honestly believe deep in my heart that Mom went home. It certainly wasn't for that house. She didn't care about that. That wasn't the way Mama was. I believe she actually went home to protect us, to save us. That's the kind of mom I had. And I just want to close the message with that little bit of a story today. And just so you could understand, you know, how much my mother meant to me. And I honor her memory today. Mama's in heaven. And I hope that can be said about you. I hope you know the Lord is your Savior. And I wish you can rewind this thing, you know. And you can go back and check it out, the things that made Mama strong and how she could make it. And if you're enduring tremendous difficulties, I just want to encourage you, you know, to keep on plugging for the Lord. And I hope that something I've said today will be a help to you. Okay? God bless you. Thank you so much.